Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation.
We want to welcome you to another episode of Hometown Highlights. We have a special guest today. We've got a whole crew. We've got four. These gentlemen are from the BG High School hockey team up in Bowling Green, Ohio. We've got three captains with us and the coach, and we kind of want to run through their history, their story, and get to know them and what they're doing for the community and just learn more about them. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thanks for having us. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We do appreciate your time and your story is really cool. So we'll get into that, but thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Dom, my co-host, how are you today?
Great. Doing well.
Living the dream here. Actually, we're recording. So Dom and I and our whole entire office, we have no green on, and it's St. Patrick's Day. So we both got pinched.
I don't think anybody here has green on either. So,
hey, that's all right. That's not the school colors, right?
Yeah, no, we don't like to wear green around here.
Yeah, for sure. So let me, we'll just start with some icebreakers. Are you guys Apple or Android users?
I'm Apple all the way.
Apple. I think we're all Apple.
Yeah. Oh man, Steve Jobs would be really happy with everybody on this call. Are you guys like Apple Watch, Apple iPad, the whole gamut?
Everything.
Max. Yeah, geez.
Yeah.
So you guys are hockey players. Are you guys morning or night people?
Night.
Night.
Morning for sure.
Not a morning person.
No.
Coach, you're a morning person, right?
Oh, no, not at all. We get asked to do morning practices all the time, and we shut those down. We don't want to do that. That's too early.
Well, more focus in the evening.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. Very cool. So we have three captains on the team, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. All three of them.
Okay, so we've got Braden Clausen. We've got Nick Powers. And then we've got Luke Johnson. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you guys are all seniors. Hockey is – correct me if I'm wrong. You're all seniors and through your season?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's get in and let's talk about the history of the Bowling Green High School hockey.
Yeah. So I want to, we'll go back and just talk about the program in general, So looking, doing a little bit of research, and Dan DeWitt was coach for almost three decades, 26 years, very successful coach. I believe he was your coach in high school, correct, Connor?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought. So, he was there for a long time. A powerhouse really in the 90s with four state championships, four state runner-ups, even in the early 2000s, a really strong program. So my first question is specifically for you, coach, for you in growing up, I assume you grew up a hockey fan and probably, the program, again, being a very good program, successful. Can you just briefly explain, like, what did the BG hockey program mean to you growing up and being able to watch that program succeed?
Yeah. So I think growing up, like you start playing hockey at a young age and you have the Falcons here, obviously in town, and then you have Bowling Green High School team. So you kind of start to get that sense that you want to play for the Bobcats growing up as you're younger, starting to skate, going up through those young ages. For me personally, when I was born, so when I was born and then the next 10 years, they were in the Final Four, I don't know, eight or nine times until I was 12 years old. So, a state powerhouse all growing up through my young years. So you kind of see that and you want to be a part of that. And that's exactly, what we have been trying to bring back here. I started skating at 1.5. And from when I can remember playing, the goal was to be a Bobcat, kind of bring what they had, have the experiences they had. Going to the games was I can remember them as a kid, going to the games was what you wanted to do every single weekend. all your other hockey players. Well, for me growing up, I played with the same group of kids from when I was like 4 years old all the way up through high school. So it's a very tight-knit group. It's, you make a lot of relationships, a lot of friends, and that's just kind of what your life is revolved around.
Yeah. You know, it's, wow. 1.5 starting skating at 1.5. That's, so I assume then were your parents, you had family members that were involved with hockey then?
So I actually didn't have any parents that played hockey or family members that played. For some reason, my dad was into hockey. I don't really know why. But I just had, for some reason, I happened to be born during the time where a lot of my friends had people and family that were in hockey. And so that's just kind of how I got started. I was pretty good friends with Grant DeWitt growing up, which was Dan DeWitt's son. So, you know, that kind of worked out pretty well with that. You know, so yeah, just a lot of friends, a lot of family friends that played hockey. So that's just kind of how I got into it.
Awesome. So same question then that I have for the three seniors then. So obviously, you know, you guys are a couple years younger than Coach. You know, for you, I'm assuming that you started hockey at a young age. I know specifically for you, Nick, you know, your dad being involved with that 1984 national championship team, that Bowling Green had with the hockey program. So for the three of you, you know, what did, you know, I'm assuming similar to Connor, but maybe your own twist on it. You know, what did that BG hockey program mean to you growing up?
We kind of all just grew up playing together. I mean, when we got to high school, I mean, we built up all those memories out through youth hockey, and being able to put that into high school was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, just growing up in BG, all the youth guys look up at the high school team. You idolize those guys. You kind of just want to be like those guys. So when you finally got to the high school team, you wanted to make sure you were a guy who was remembered and a team that was remembered. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what these guys said. Growing up, you look up to the high school team, you look up to the Falcons, and you really just want to be one of those guys. And showing and being one of those guys now makes you want to give back and really give the kids the opportunities that you guys got growing up.
Is there – you guys do some events with the youth hockey, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. With the, so what are, I guess, like, how are you involved now, like with the youth hockey and, you know, like practically speaking, being able to help out the and support the youth that have that interest today?
Yes, we do. I mean, we try to do as much as we can with youth hockey. Obviously, in Bowling Green with our youth hockey program, it's our feeder system into our high school team. So it's really important to make sure that we continue to build that. And they do try hockey for free days. With the house, the sport, the house, the travel, the all-star programs, we try to go out there as much as possible and help out, just kind of make an appearance, whether we're actually helping or whether we're just kind of out there, you know, advertising Bobcat hockey. You know, we want to help. We want to, you know, help grow these kids, and we want them. I think the main goal is to have that want that I think a lot of us had to play Bobcat hockey, to be a Bobcat. You know, I think that's something that we've got away from a little bit is being excited to be a Bobcat. And I think that's definitely, speaking for myself, what we want to bring back here, because that's, at least myself and my friends, that's all we knew growing up, is we wanted to be a Bobcat.
You want to set that culture for the program and for the team. And again, you know, from the early age to, you know, all the way once you're in high school as well, to have that team culture and that, you know, the fact that the athletes can be proud of being, you know, a part of the Bobcat hockey team.
And as much as you say culture and being proud, you know, it starts not only when we're in high school, when we're on the team, but before it. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, they consider themselves Ice Cats in our youth hockey level, but they're Bobcats. And that's what we want them to be proud of. They know that if they continue working hard and they keep doing what they're doing, that eventually one day they're going to be up there and they're going to be able to wear that jersey as well.
Awesome. So walk me through then, you know, we mentioned the powerhouse that the program was, you know, for growing up in, you know, in the late, or excuse me, in the 90s, early 2000s. At some point here, you know, take me through, I know that the program was eliminated. At what point was it eliminated? How long was it eliminated for? And what was, you know, the cause of that?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously from 19, 89 through 2004. I mean, I think, you know, 16 championships, 18 Final Four appearances, something along those lines. So yeah, to get into the 2000s and to kind of, I don't want to say go down, because I can speak for myself from 2012 to 2015. You know, we in no way were down. We just couldn't get over that hump of getting back to Columbus. So I think we had some years there where it was just kind of a struggle, to kind of just get over that hump again and get back there. But in end of 2017 is when we went on a year hiatus, low numbers, you know, a lot of different things, I think, to blame for that. You know, youth hockey numbers weren't as good. It was in that time, from what I understand, is when the recession happened, and then apparent or something, you know, during that time, there just wasn't a whole lot of kids being born. And then once they got up to that point, which was 2017, 2018, the numbers weren't great. So we had that, we dealt with that. We dealt with some kids leaving, for one reason or another. And, you know, we just weren't able to have a team that year, but we were able to come back the next year after, and kind of just start where we left off. I guess we can call it a rebuild, but I don't even know if I want to call it that. But yeah, so we were only off for 1 year.
Did you know the whole time that it was just going to be 1 year, or was the program eliminated for the foreseeable future? Then it only ended up being
a year? So I don't think that it was ever just known, like, hey, this is going to be a 1 year thing and then we're back. I don't really think anybody really knew at the time. I think it kind of just, hey, what can we do to make sure that we have numbers for next year to make sure that we can continue building this and get back to being on the ice? So yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty when it happened, but you know, the first thing started with trying to put pieces back together and try to see what we could do for the next year. And thankfully we were able to.
Yeah. So you were graduated by this point, coach, for the three seniors. How old were you for that year then that the program was eliminated?
That was their freshman year.
Your freshman year. So how do you, you know, if you don't mind the three of you sharing, you know, obviously all three of you, hockey being so important to you, starting from a young age with family, you know, being involved. What was that like having that year off of hockey and that uncertainty? And, you know, did you join like a club hockey, or like, what did you do for that winter?
I mean, I think we were all looking forward to finally be able to be a Bobcat and go to the school. But for me and Luke, we still had a year of Bantam. So we ended up playing Bantam year at BG's. We were Ice Cats. And then,
I had to play for a club team that year, Northwest Eagles. But I mean, that year was pretty tough. Obviously, I grew up in a Bobcat hockey family, looking forward to be a Bobcat my whole life. So finding out freshman year that we're not going to have a team, I mean, that was pretty tough on me. I mean, you just kind of had to take that year and just try to improve on the things you can get better at so you can come back better the next year.
Did you guys politically have to like try to get kids involved in hockey, like to bring that team back? Like, what did you guys actually have to jump into to help?
Yeah. You know, we had a good base. So kind of speaking on this a little bit, just to kind of go back for a second. So the Bantam program, a lot of kids as freshmen can still play Bantams.
Okay.
Because of the way years and stuff. So that also played a factor into it and was a problem, is we had a lot of kids or a lot of parents that didn't think that their kids were quite ready to go into high school. So they're like, oh, well, instead of freshman year, just going and playing high school, we're going to have them play Bantam again, which definitely played a huge factor, because that next year coming back, we had a lot of sophomores that were freshmen that could have played it, but they decided not to. So, you know, we had a great foundation when we came back, but to stem off your question, we had a couple people, right, when we came back that was their first, second, or third year playing hockey. So we did deal with a little bit of that the first year of just trying to make sure that we had those numbers to sustain.
So for the three, you know, for the three students, did you guys, did you have to try to recruit or get any, you know, any of your other friends or anybody to play hockey then, or there really wasn't? You know, you were mainly just focused on yourself playing that year, you know, with the club sports and being prepared for the following year.
I mean, yeah, I try to focus on myself. I mean, it was my second year at Bantam, so it was last year of youth sports. So I just try to do my best. And then obviously going into high school as a sophomore, like playing varsity for your first year, it's not easy. So I just try to do what I can do and be ready for high school. And then we ended up having our class. We had, what, 9 kids?
10 at the time.
I thought it was like 11.
10 at the time, and there was only 3 juniors and 1 senior. So I was just trying to get as many of my classmates in my class to play so then we could make sure we actually had enough, and eventually that would be our senior class. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, but not that. We just felt our class, we had a good amount of kids. We thought we had a good group. So I think we knew going in our sophomore year we were going to have a team. So we were just trying to build with that group, that sophomore group, because we knew by the time we got to our senior year, we'd have a pretty solid team.
Yeah, I mean, these boys pretty much set up the best. I feel like we were going in, we knew that we had the numbers. We just knew that we had to get to work to get the job done. And I think that's what we did.
So how was that first year then, you know, finally being able to play, you know, Bobcat hockey? You mentioned a little bit there were even potentially some difficulties in that, you know, and obviously having that year off as well, working on that chemistry, you know, generally speaking, like how was that first year, your ex's sophomore year?
It wasn't too pretty, to say the least. I mean, it was, I think we all understood that, like, it was just the comeback year and we were just trying to lay the foundation down and like, you know, build systems and learn about each other and figure things out. But yeah, I mean, overall, our record wasn't too good, but in the end, I think it was a pretty okay year.
I mean, we knew coming into the year that wasn't going to be easy. And we also knew that teams weren't going to take us light. Bobcat hockey's beat up on some teams over the years, so they kind of wanted to get back at us. So we knew that was coming. But I think that first year was just letting everybody in the know, in the state know we're back. And I think towards the end of the year, we had a pretty decent playoff run. So we started to get more competitive. I thought we grew throughout the year and became a better team.
Yeah, first year back, it was definitely a big jump for me, especially because I went from Bantam to a high school and I had never really played high school. And so just from seeing playing with different kids and really just going out there, we weren't expecting that much, but the way the season ended, I felt like we had a good momentum shift into the start of next year. And I think it carried over and helped.
Yeah, I'm sure, especially with you, you know, mentioned about the amount, as far as, you know, the sophomores compared to juniors, compared to seniors, you know, just being a lot of underclassmen. Sure, there were some difficulties there, but I appreciate your perspective. You mentioned, Braden, about, you know, you knew pretty much that year you were laying the foundation. Like, you knew that you were young, primarily sophomores on the team. And, you know, again, even though I'm sure there were some downsides that year, but you knew this wasn't the end. Obviously you had 2 more years and it was about that group and, you know, being able to gel and, you know, create that chemistry that would last then over the next 2 years as well.
Yeah. And when you look at it, you know, we have all these sophomores coming in here that we know are talented and we know are going to be able to do stuff. Really, they're freshmen. I mean, you know, on paper, they really didn't play high school before. So they came in as freshmen, essentially. And, you know, we didn't do them any favors when we came in. We were going to come back and we were going to come back right to where we left off as far as scheduling, as far as, you know, we could have came back and we could have made an easy schedule and you know, slowly got through it and, you know, had a decent record and kind of just did it that way. But we chose not to go that way. We chose to continue playing the hard schedule that we playing the top teams in the state, because we knew that by the time these guys were seniors, what we did the first year and the second year was going to eventually build into what we were able to do the third year. So, you know, we didn't shy back from any competition. We played the top teams in the state and, you know, we took some beatings sometimes, but at the end of the day, it made us better. And it made us stronger as a team.
Sure. That's awesome. That's cool to hear. You didn't take any shortcuts. You knew what the expectations were for the program. And even with, you know, that year off, said, these are the expectations. This is, you know, how we are going to get to where we want to be. So then the next year, so during this time, I guess, just to clarify, you were a coach and assistant coach at the time?
Yeah. So the first year and a half, I was the assistant coach on the staff. Yeah.
Okay. So then the following year, you know, for the captains, for their senior, or excuse me, their junior year at the time, assistant coach, you know, ran through a huge roadblock that, you know, you were not expecting, with Coach Ruffner, passing away in the middle of the season. Coach, can you briefly kind of walk through, you know, what did that look like as a team? What did that look like for you, you know, as an assistant coach, being a part of that, being, you know, that support system for these athletes? And, you know, from such a young age, obviously going through such a tremendously difficult situation.
Yeah. So, you know, going into their next year, we ended their first year, losing 1-0 to St. Francis, who would eventually go to the Final Four, but then get cut off from COVID. So we had a good ending to the season. We felt good about going into the next year, what we were going to be able to bring and what we were going to be able to do. And that started right through the summer. And then all the way up through the start of the season, you know, we were building to, you know, enhance what we did the year before. And then we kind of, like you said, started hitting, you know, a couple roadblocks. If I could describe, you know, how the team handled the entire year, the last year was just resilience. I mean, that's a good word that comes to mind. I mean, they battled through so many different things throughout the year to be able to continue to do what we did was actually remarkable. So the start of the year, you know, right off the bat, Jamie Ruffner was a coach at the time. And he, you know, we had our first couple weekends and then, you know, kind of fell ill and didn't really know what was wrong at the time. You know, kind of was dealing with some stomach issues and stuff. And, you know, we were kind of just like, you know, continue moving forward. And that's one thing I'll say through this entire thing. We continued moving forward. We kept moving. We didn't look back. We didn't, you know, feel bad for ourselves. We just kept going because that's what he wanted us to do. And that's what we kept doing. But he ended up getting diagnosed with cancer in, it was the first week of December. But we are just starting the season, just getting into it. And then we're kind of hit with that news, you know, so obviously nobody's going to take that easy. You don't know what's going to happen from there. At that time, we were really, you know, had a lot of hope, with it. There was a lot of optimism. Everything was going to be cool. You know, at that point I kind of took over, a little bit, just because he had to be at home. But he still ran a lot of day-to-day stuff. You know, we still talked all the time, still, you know, did a whole bunch of stuff. But the team had to deal with that. And right, going right through the beginning and the middle, right in the beginning, middle of your season, it's not an easy thing to deal with. And then progressively through the months of December, you know, it just got worse and worse. And, you know, we didn't try to, you know, show that to the team a whole lot because we didn't really want them to have to deal with that and go through that. But I think they knew. And that's no easy thing to have to deal with, especially, like I said, with the schedule, with everything we do, you know, practicing 4 times a week, games, 3 games a week. And I mean, it's not an easy thing to have to deal with. And then we got into the beginning of January and he unfortunately passed away then the first week of January. So it seems like it was a fast process. But going through pretty much our entire season, having to have that weight and deal with that and watch this happen to someone that you care about a lot, you know, it's not easy. And they were able to find a way to continue moving forward. I know that in that second week of January, you know, once everything happened and once we kind of started to accept, you know, what happened and what was going on here, you know, I didn't really know what to expect, if I'm being honest, because I wouldn't have blamed any of the kids if they just kind of shut down. You know, I can say, you know, from personal experience, that's kind of what I wanted to do for a little bit as well. But we didn't, nobody did. And I'll tell you, one thing that Jamie said to me, it was a couple of days before he passed away, was that you need to turn this into something positive. You need to somehow get them motivated to turn this into a positive thing. And that wasn't easy to do, but they took it and they ran with it, and the resilience and the perseverance that they had the rest of that season was remarkable. I mean, it was, I couldn't have asked for that. I don't think anybody could have asked for that, but they just did it. And so I definitely think that they did him well and made him proud with what they did at the end of that year.
Yeah. I love the resilience, you know, that's the word that you kind of described for that season and for that period of time. Yeah. Cause I mean, I can't even imagine what that would look like for each individual athlete, again, as well as you being, you know, the assistant coach and then kind of stepping into the head coach. And then you are, you know, fully in charge of these young adults, you know, and not only the game of hockey, you know, you have the game of hockey that you're, you know, trying to win, trying to succeed in, but then also, again, just as individuals and as people and realizing this is so much bigger, you know, than the sport of hockey, but just being able to be that support system, be there through them, be with the team through this period of time. Yeah, and it's cool to hear that, you know, you said that it ended up being resilient, ended up, you know, I'm sure made the season much more emotional than what you obviously had originally ever planned.
I mean, you talk about, you know, it's not just about hockey. You know, that's, we talk about that all the time. And I think that during that year and with everything that happened, we really, that brought the whole meeting to family, and that it's not really about hockey forward, because it wasn't. The rest of that year, it wasn't about hockey. We like to, you know, in directly, yes, it is, but indirectly, like that, it wasn't about that. It was about everything else, and it was about being there for each other, and it was about, you know, as much as our staff, and we were there for them. I think, you know, the bigger impact was how they were there for us. You know, because mm-hmm. I know for myself speaking, like Jamie was a mentor to me. He coached me when I was younger. So we had a relationship that stemmed back for a long time. So, you know, it wasn't an easy thing for anybody, but together, you know, as a team, as a family, that's how we were able to get through it.
Yeah. Walk through side by side together. That's cool. You said that they were there for you as well during that period of time. So then, you know, after all you've been through, you know, for the three captains, you get to your senior year, then, you know, take me through, I would love to hear from your perspective for the three of you. How did the senior year go? And I mean, obviously it was the last year of your high school career, but how did the senior year season go?
I mean, coming into it, I thought we had pretty high expectations because, I mean, we had 9 guys in our class at the beginning of the year, and everybody was looking forward to us doing good. And I mean, we ended good at the end of our junior year, so we were all ready for our senior year. And then, I mean, we had a really good start with a couple tournaments, and then towards the middle, we ended up hitting like a little bump in the road before playoffs. And when playoffs rolled around, we were able to get some wins, and then obviously it didn't end the way we wanted it to. But like Rogo said, he wanted one of our last games to be a game where we didn't beat ourselves, and it was actually like a good game. And that if we ended up losing, then I mean, it's just how it is. But we played our best game, and we ended up losing by 1.
I mean, for this senior class, we've been through a lot through 4 years. Freshman year, not having a team. Sophomore year, kind of just getting the team back, getting things rolling again. Junior year, obviously losing Coach Ruffner, that's not easy on any of us. But I think it helped us come together, helped us build the program. By the time we were senior year, we started out hot, like Braden said. I think the biggest thing we could take away from this year is we finally set the bar and the expectation back for Bobcat hockey where it needs to be. We set a precedent. We set the new standard. I think the standard is going to be for the long time is be one of the top teams in the state and competing to win the league title every year. So, I mean, it's a tough thing to do. I would say I'm proud of my group of seniors doing it. It's a crazy ride, but I think we set the bar and proud of that.
Yeah, I don't think I could say it any better than these two boys just said it. But I mean, starting the earlier year, going into it, we had high expectations. We knew that we could have the potential to be one of the top teams in the state. And I think going into it and really at the start of the season, we proved why we can be. And I mean, yeah, it didn't end the way we wanted it to. I mean, losing in the district semis to your rival, you know, that's never fun. But I'm really just proud of the way our team was able to get together and really show how Bobcat hockey is back and how we're going to be a force to handle with in the next couple of years.
That's cool. That's awesome.
What was your guys' record this year as seniors?
23-11-1.
So, yeah, I mean,
we went from 8 wins first year to 11 wins the second year to 23 wins the third year.
I'd say the bar was raised back up where it needs to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was obviously, like they said, expectations were pretty high going into the season. We knew that we were going to be able to be a team that compete. We were a top 10 team in the state the entire year. But we knew that. And it wasn't a surprise to us. I think it was a surprise to some people, but not to us.
Right.
And we knew that. And, you know, the goal from this year was, yeah, one, to make it back to Columbus, which we all ultimately didn't do. But the bigger goal was, like they said, to bring Bobcat hockey back, to put it back where it needed to be, show everybody that we're here, we're back, we're here to stay, and that we're going to compete. And that's exactly what they did. They brought Bobcat hockey from a place of not having a team to a state contender. And that's, you know, as far as what we can ask, I don't think we can ask for anything greater than that.
Yeah, I think you guys had talked about laying the foundation for your teams, but you kind of laid the foundation for the program, right? I mean, at the end of your career, you can look back and say, you know, we did everything we could do. I think that's pretty cool, right? And that's the cool thing about sports and what they can do for not only for you guys individually, but your community and your school and, you know, setting you guys up as young men to go and, you know, to the next step of your lives, which is pretty awesome. So, you know, I think everybody, we all have similar sports backgrounds. You know, Dom and I are both college athletes. You guys obviously are still in high school and you have the ability to maybe go to the next level. And it's just cool to hear a story like this where you guys, I never went through anything like you did. We're losing a coach and not having a program and just kind of in limbo. Do I need to transfer schools to be able to play? I'm sure that thought came in, like what was actually going to happen? You know, you've been through a lot in, you know, 4 years, but it's also setting you up for life, right? You know, you just never know what's going to happen. You just have that resilience, as you guys had mentioned, and you just get through it and stay positive.
Yeah. I think that that's definitely something that they've become better hockey players. They've built the program back up, but I think that they've all can attest that they became better people. And they've learned how to handle situations that, you know, a lot of people, once they hit the real world, you know, after high school, like they've never dealt with. And in this group of kids, you know, they've dealt with it and they've dealt with a lot. And so they're going to be better people for it. And they're going to be able to give back in a way that a lot of people, I don't think, can. So, you know, as much as it has not been great, as much as their first year sucked, as much as, you know, the tragedy that happened with the coach, as much as all of that stuff you would never wish to happen, you know, it built them into a lot better people, and it shaped them to be different people, and I think that it's going to show a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So for the three seniors, my question is, you know, looking at the future, what does the next step look like for each of you? Is hockey in, you know, the next step for any of you? What does life look like, you know, if you have a plan yet for after high school?
I'm going to try and go play junior somewhere, but if not, then just go to college.
Cool. I mean, I've had a few junior teams reach out to me, a few club teams reach out to me. But plan right now is go to BGSU next year and then try to get into coaching over the next few years.
Awesome. Yeah, sadly, I think my hockey career has come to an end, but I'm probably just going to plan on going to college next year at BG and just go from there. Like Nick said, coaching, that's definitely something I want to do when I'm older. So I'm just going to see what happens.
Yeah. Being able to, you know, still be involved with the sport that you love, you know, obviously I'm sure that, you know, coach can share a lot, you know, from his experience with that as well, specifically being a part of the program the entire time as an athlete, now as a coach. And, Yeah, so really excited for you guys to see what that future looks like for each of you. And, you know, if you get that opportunity to play or even coach and just being involved with that sport, it's obviously something that you've been, it's been in your blood, something that you've played for many years, and just being able to give back to, you know, that next generation can be very rewarding as well. That's cool to hear. So coach, for you then, you know, more specifically, I know we've kind of briefly talked about, you know, the foundation being laid, you know, what does the future look like for the near future look like for the BG hockey program?
Yeah. You know, we have, I think one thing that we can also credit this team and this group with is bringing a sense of community pride back to this program. And not that it wasn't there before, but I think we brought a new sense of community pride back to it, which has gotten people, I think, more excited to watch, to have their kids be involved and to play for this program. So looking at the next, you know, couple of years down the road, I'm crossing my fingers saying this right now, but it's looking like, you know, this year or definitely the next year, like we're going to have a JV program back, which is definitely something that I don't think a lot of people thought that we would be able to do this quickly. And looking at the numbers coming up, you know, we have in our youth system, in our first year Bantams, our peewees, a lot of Bowling Green kids and a lot of Bowling Green kids that are excited to get here. So, you know, it's the future for Bowling Green hockey is looking bright. You know, obviously when you lose nine seniors that all contribute, it's not an easy thing to move on from. But we're going to do our best and we're going to continue working. We're going to continue pushing. We're going to continue, you know, setting that standard for what we're doing here for the next group of kids that come up. You know, we had 9 seniors this year, 3 sophomores, 3 juniors, 10 sophomores and 1 freshman. So, you know, we have that next group continuing to build, to build up. And, you know, I think that we definitely are in a good place. From our community standpoint, our youth standpoint, we're excited for the future.
That's awesome. That's cool to hear. Yeah. The potential of a JV team, you know, especially after just having the program eliminated due to numbers so recently. Absolutely. And now in such a short period of time, being able to have a JV squad.
Yeah. It's definitely something that we talked about a couple of years ago when we came in, but kind of was just I don't want to say a laugh, but kind of just a distant thought, you know, sometime hopefully we'll be able to get that back. But now we're looking at, you know, right in the face and we're like, man, we might be able to do this already.
Cool.
So it's great. It's a great thing.
It's very cool.
Encouraging for sure.
Heck yeah.
So the last question I have for you then, so here on our podcast on the Hometown Highlights, you know, we talk a lot about the community, the emphasis on the community, and you very, you know, briefly there mentioned it as well, coach. I want to first start with the 3 seniors, you know, again, especially with how much the 3 of you have been through, you know, during your high school, specifically with the hockey program. You know, can you briefly describe to me, like, what does community mean to you? What is the BG, like, even outside of, you know, there's that hockey community, but there's the Bowling Green High School community, potentially even the city. Like, what does community mean to you and how has it supported you during your 4 years?
I mean, growing up, I grew up in Maumee, so I didn't even grow up in BG, and I came here in 8th grade, so I never really had that, like, Bobcat pride. But then, like, I mean, through the years, I mean, obviously, like, sophomore and junior year, it was COVID, so there wasn't that many people there. But then, like, when we played Finley at home and it was youth hockey day and, like, literally going on the ice every single time, like, we got, like, 20, 30 little kids, little ice cats giving us all knuckles, and there's, like, I mean, a couple hundred people in the stands, like, I mean, it's just crazy to look back at. And, like, I mean, yeah, like, we have a whole community behind us, and it's nice to be able to give back to that. And, like, I mean, we've been through so much in the past 4 years, but at the end of it, if I look back, like, I wouldn't rather have it any other way.
I think the BG community gives us a lot of support. Before and after games, I'm receiving a lot of texts from parents, other coaches in other sports. I know a lot of the coaches in other sports like to support hockey teams. I'm sure our coaches do the same way. But like he said, we got the youth program. Like, every time we're getting on the ice, they're running down, giving us knuckles, because that's pretty cool for us, because we remember being those kids running down, trying to get to the high school guys, giving them knuckles. But, I mean, yeah, just being on the ice this year, looking in the stands, you got all your buddies, you got all your family, family, friends. I mean, the support from the high school and the BG community this year as a whole was, it meant a lot to us for sure. So,
yeah, I mean, like these boys said, coming off of COVID year and last year and looking up the stands and only really seeing some parents, and not even all the parents could come, I believe. So just the change in environment, really, I liked it a lot. And I think these boys can attest they really enjoyed it, to have all the support that the community brings us. And even though they give us support, we want to be able to give back to them. And I think we've been doing a good job of that. Coach Rogo has set up some stuff to give back to the community. And I think we've done a good job to do that, and just thank them for their support that they've given us.
Sure. That's cool to hear. Yeah. You guys being the local celebrities, you know, and like you mentioned there, Nick, the kids being so excited to give the Nugs. And, you know, I'm sure that's such an incredible feeling. You know, it's funny now that we're wrapping up the podcast and everything that you three, you know, your class and the program has been through, honestly, completely right over my head, the fact that COVID, you know, COVID was right in the middle of your high school. And, you know, we never really even touched on that, but I'm sure that made a tremendous impact on seasons and fans and, you know, athletes that can play and such. So that was, I mean, compared to what you've been through, that's really nothing, but, you know, just one more obstacle that you have been able to overcome in that high school career. So, Coach, you want to kind of wrap us up for us then, you know, for you then as a coach, you know, and even being a previous athlete as well, you know, kind of being, having both sides, what does community mean for you? You know, and even Luke had, you know, alluded to some community involvement that you're involved with right now.
Yeah. Like community growing up, like I said, you know, I was involved in that younger group of kids that loved Bobcat hockey, that wanted to be a part of it. I think growing up, but you don't really understand exactly what the community involvement is for a certain program. Playing in it is when I really got to start to see, you know, exactly what this program meant to the people that were involved in it and to the people in the community, to the alumni, to everything. You really started to see that. And then it builds throughout your years there. And then once you're done and once you start, you know, once I started coaching in it, I really started to see it. I think, you know, and I'm obviously probably biased, but I think the Bowling Green hockey community here is probably one of the best that there is, with our community, with our alumni, with our player. I mean, it's, everybody is there to support. You know, we have events every year. You know, we have our golf outing, our horse race, our anytime we do an event, we run out. We don't have enough stuff. We don't have enough places. Mm-hmm. We had a youth camp this year. We planned for 20 kids. Our max was 50. We were at 60. Like everybody wants to support, be involved, be around it. And that's the, honestly, the most important thing to me is just having that community pride. And like I said, having that new renowned community support and pride that we have from everybody. You go into places, you know, we go to team meals, a little kid comes, like, you know, they know they're Bobcat hockey players. They want you to come to their restaurant to have your team meal. They want to support you. It's honestly, I'm grateful to be able to be and to coach at a place that has that much community support and that gives that much back to the program. And I know this was a program that gave a lot to the community, especially in state championships and stuff for a long time. And I know that we're going to get back to that eventually. For the time being, though, we're going to give them back in any other way that we can, when they're supporting these businesses, helping out with all the youth stuff, doing the fundraisers that are around town. You know, we're going to be involved in everything, and the community knows that, and they give that right back to us. So it's pretty amazing.
It's awesome.
That is awesome. Really cool. Cool to hear. You know, you said, yeah, as an athlete, you know, in high school, you potentially didn't really realize the amount of involvement, and now being on the flip side as a coach, you know, your eyes are definitely open to that. And even the overwhelming support, you know, it's just every single event, everything you do, being able to sell out is, that's awesome. That's
absolutely. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Luke, Nick, Braden, Coach, thank you so much for your time this morning. thanks for, you know, jumping on and just being able to share your story, you know, and what the program has meant to you, and just kind of dive into, you know, Bowling Green hockey. We really appreciate your time. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show.